Yeah. How's it going, Wynn?
Fine, thank you. It's nice to hear your dolphin chipper voice. And is anyone else on there?
Here.
Who is that?
There's two or three more people who haven't spoken.
Okay.
Be calm, hold your peace.
Thank you. You guys that are coming in, that are beeping in, my name is Winfrey, and would you like to say your name and your city?
Oh, Anna in California.
Okay. Anyone else there? Now, sometimes new people check in and they just want to listen in, and that's okay. But if you want to say your name and your city, it actually helps ground the energy to you, and you're not obligated. So does anyone want to say their name in the city yet? Okay. Well, thank you for being here. This is the call. Let's see. Seth, are you on the phone? This is one of those nights where I'm not sure if I'm on the air or not. Is anyone listening to the internet right now? Wayne, are you on the internet?
No, I'm not. I thought I heard him say you were going on the air.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I heard in the background.
We didn't.
You didn't?
Nope.
We're on right now. Thank you, Seth. Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Monday night edition of the Higher Vision conference call. And I thank you for participating with us in what I call an experiment. And everyone on the line and everyone listening on BBS Radio is part of an experiment. And since you're part of an experiment, maybe I should tell you what the experiment is. Let me mute you all for a moment. Let's see. Somebody just came on. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Yeah, this is Karen in Tucson.
Hi, Karen. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. And Marianne is in here. Is here too now.
Marianne of Gary and Marianne, right?
Right.
Okay. All right. Let me mute everybody.
All callers are muted.
Okay. So I started out by saying this is an experiment. And the way the experiment started, it's actually the culmination of my having an experience of talking to voices through people I was close to. And voices coming through them that didn't seem to be them and that identified themselves as group souls and not individual entities. And over a period of 5 years, I had the opportunity to ask numerous questions. And you might imagine, put yourself in my shoes, because somebody that you know personally suddenly starts speaking to you, and whoever's speaking identifies themselves as not being them, but as someone else. Well, of course, the first thing anyone's going to think is my friend going crazy? And am I going crazy? And who's talking? So what happened to me was they gave me this opportunity to ask questions. And the questions were fairly unrestricted. And they could be about any topic. And occasionally they would defer on answering a question. But most of the time, they would answer a question very lovingly, very wisely. And it certainly didn't seem like the consciousness or the intelligence of the person that I had grown to know. And, of course, this was happening during the period of time that I was writing a book called The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, which also describes a person named David Wilcock who had a voice speaking to him. And that voice identified itself as a group soul. And there was a lot of correlation between the questions to the voices through my personal relationships and the voice that was speaking through David Wilcock. And in terms of how the Earth was going through what they called a dimensional shift, and that we were going through a period that we couldn't understand except through the intervention of sources on the other side, because it was the end of a 75,000-year cycle. Of course, I'm making it very simple, and it's not simple. The information was complex and intricate, and I'm sitting there, the recipient of it, wondering, first, is it real? And second, is it positive? So, in the terms of is it real department, these voices started to make accurate predictions for the future that would come about. Very specific predictions. And then, in my particular circumstance, there was a miraculous healing. And so, I asked many questions about who these energies were and how they operated. And they described themselves, and there's actually two energies here. One identified itself as the Ra group, and the other identified itself as the Council of Elohim. And they identified themselves as group souls that were outside of this dimension, in a very high dimension. Or another way of looking at dimensions is they were in a place where time moved at a different speed than this one. And in fact, where time actually almost stopped, and they were starting from the place where time stopped and then could project themselves into time through dimensions and actually into our realm. But when they arrived in our realm, they didn't arrive as bodies. They arrived as energies. They projected energy from outside of time into this realm. And as we were doing these channelings, I started to become sensitive to those energies. I could feel energy in my space. And I started to realize, or make the postulate, that maybe that was them beaming in to the space. And so I experimented with it. And I was with my friend, and she experimented with it. And it was very consistent, and we learned to be able to tell when they were in our space. And we could feel the difference in the energies from these two group souls. All the time asking many questions and correlating the evidence to see if it was real. So, as I questioned them further, the voice that identified itself as the Council of Elohim said that they were the same energy that was referred to in the Bible, because the Bible refers to God as the Elohim. Now, I didn't know if this was true. I just am tape recording conversations and taking notes. And making my decision as I went along. So, they said that they were one of the forces that was responsible, or choosing to be responsible, for the evolution of mankind. And these two group souls identified themselves differently. The Elohim was part of the original creation of this realm, and the Ra group was composed of graduates of this realm. Those that had gotten stuck in it graduated and now acted as a helper and support for planetary populations that were still stuck in the realm. And so both these groups were teamed up in trying to influence this planet and the people on this planet for the positive for tens of thousands of years. And if I'm to believe what they were saying, they were the original sources of many religions, many spiritual groups, and Ra, I guess their byline or their most important principle is what they call the Law of One. And the Law of One is not really a law. It's not a law like a legal law or traffic law. It's the highest principle upon which the universe runs. And that is that there is only one being in the universe. And we and everything in the universe are essentially cells in that one being. And most of us have gotten so displaced from the connection that we're part of all that is, that we don't know that anymore. And we feel isolated, separated, and of course, once you're in this realm, in this three-dimensional realm that all of us are sharing right now, there's a huge amount of illusions as to what's going on. And within those illusions, we feel a lot of pain. We have gotten stuck energetically in this realm where pieces of us are stuck in the energy flows of the planet, pieces of our energy, and that's called karma. And until we extricate our energy, we have to keep coming back in the process called reincarnation to try to balance that. Now, all of this happens automatically. We don't know it, at least when we're in the physical. Apparently, when we die, we have much more knowledge of how things work and our own fall into this realm. And what Ra said in was that when we're in this realm, we can know nothing and change everything. In other words, we don't know what's going on. There's a veil between us and the other realms. And if you're listening to me for the first time this evening, then if this is new information, you don't have a clue, perhaps, that what I'm saying has any validity to it. And I hope you would not believe anything I say blindly, but that you go to my website. It's actually our group's website, which is higher-vision.org, and study it, because there's a lot of documentation of how this all occurred for me. There's quite a few channelings posted. There's about 70 pages of questions and answers with the Elohim, where I have asked the questions you might ask if you had a chance to talk to these sources. And we posted the answers, things like how does prayer work, what happens when you die, what earth changes might there be in the immediate future, etc., etc., etc. And if you study it, you may get some kind of resonance that there's something behind it. Because the idea here is not to believe anything blindly. There's a lot of evidence that this is real. And if there's a chance that it is real, then I hope you'll choose to study the evidence on the website. And then there's some referring websites like llresearch.org, which hosted the website of Carla Ruckert, divinecosmos.com, which goes to the website of David Wilcock, who is the person I wrote the book about, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. But getting on with the story, I'm having these conversations and I'm experiencing something of energy and vibration projected into my space. And I can feel the energy. And my friend can feel the energy. There's two of us feeling the same energy. And then we ask a question and they say, yes, that was them. And of course, that was interspersed with some miraculous happenings. So I asked myself, how do I share this with other people? How do I take this experience that I'm having and make it so that other people can have it and have access to it? And one of the solutions I had was to do a conference call, and I asked them if they would be on the conference call and work with people, and they said they would. So we've been doing this conference call for probably about a year, and there's probably about, you know, 20 to 30, sometimes 40 people who might check into it. And many of the people that have been on the call have had some kind of experience that what I'm saying is true. They've had some kind of shift in their life that was verifiable, that something happened. Some of them have had some kind of miraculous event. Others have had changes in relationships in the people around them that were stuck for many years. And the relationship shifted. And some of them have just felt the energy really strongly. And they became consistent in being able to hold the energy. This is kind of like, in the old-fashioned term, a kind of initiation. It's like people are being exposed to a new reference point of energy, of vibrational space, usually bigger than the one that they're accustomed to experiencing. And the first step is to feel the energy, and the second step is to integrate it as part of your daily life. And when you do that, everything inside you starts to change. Your relationships with the people around you change. Your relationships with the world changes. And your relationships with what we call the other side, God, the greater cosmos, suddenly changes. And you become more adept at experiencing what the Ra group calls the Law of One. And what that means to me, in its most simplest understanding, is that, of course, we've all heard that we are all one. But what, in fact, how does that translate to real life, to say we are all one? Well, we all have physical bodies, and our physical bodies obviously are separate. But each of us has an energy body, a mirror energy body that's connected to our physical body. Now, we don't see that energy body because that energy body is in other dimensions. But we can sense the reality of it. Some people can see auras. Some people can see energy fields. Some people can see the impact of the energy body as it gets close to this dimension as an aura around you. Well, energy bodies are very fluid. They can expand. They can contract. When we're scared, when we're fearful, when we're sick, when we're hurt, our energy bodies become very contracted. And when we're loving, when we're open, when we're sharing, when we're compassionate, our energy bodies expand. And one of the things that energy bodies can do is touch and blend with the energy body of another person and connect, create what you could call a group energy. So what we're doing on this conference call is we're creating a group energy. And those of you who are listening are part of this experiment. Remember, I started out saying it was an experiment to see if this worked. Because like yourself, like me, I don't see in other dimensions. But I do feel energy. I sense energy. I'm very intuitive. And I check things out very carefully. And I've watched the experience that I'm having on this call. And since we've been doing the call, many of the people on the call have had some kind of experience of this sensing of the energy or feeling the energy of what would normally be strangers, people on the other side of the country that they never met. And yet, after they've been on the call for a number of times, suddenly there was a compassion and a feeling that for a total stranger that was developing, and a teamwork and a camaraderie. And this call is really a group effort. You who are listening hear my voice, but if you're listening on BBS, we have at least 15 people or 20 people on a conference line with me at this moment, many of whom have been on this call many nights. And we actually do this call every night of the week. This is not the normal format. This is a format that we do when we're on BBS, because I assume there's new people listening, and I need to introduce the concept of what we're doing to those people. But what's happening is we're creating a group energy. And within our group energy, we invite what I call those group souls, who are also group energies, they just don't have bodies, to blend with our group energy, because our group energy exists in a dimension that they can access. And so they can access that energy, blend with us, and then increase and enhance our own vibration. With that enhancement, we do in group intentions, which is my word for the old-fashioned word of prayer, where we can utilize that energy, which is on another dimension, and cause things to change in this dimension for the highest good of all concerned. So this is not a place for magic and to create control systems. This is a place to connect with those sources of energy in very high levels with our energies and get intentions of a very high level to be manifest on this planet. And so while I'm talking, some of you may be noticing a shift in your own energy. You may be noticing a quiet space around you. You may be noticing that the anxieties of the day, the pressures of the day, are leaving you and they're dissipating. And you may be noticing a very subtle feeling of expansion while this is going on. And it's not in the physical realm. You know something's different, but it's not a physical realm difference. So these are some of the signs that the kind of interaction that I've been talking about is actually taking place. And as we go further, we're going to be doing something which I call calling in of light, where we actually invoke this oneness and invoke this blending with these group souls, although it's happening even without invoking it. It's happening because there's enough people on this line that intend for it to happen. Intention is the strongest force a human has to be able to penetrate the veil and reach into the parts of themselves in other dimensions. If your intention is strong enough over a long enough period of time, and you have a vision of what to expect, you stand a chance of expanding yourself into those realms beyond this dimension. Now, I thought I would take the opportunity. It's 6:56, and we're going to go to 7:25 to unmute the line. And I might stick my foot in my mouth here, but we've got like 15 people on the line that have been actually checking into this line for many months, and every one of them has had some kind of experience that has validated this for them. And I thought I'd take the opportunity to let them share, those that wish, some of their experiences that they've had as a result of being on the line. So let me unmute you.
All callers are unmuted.
Okay. So, I don't know if I should call on people or let you volunteer. anybody want to volunteer? Uh-oh.
I'll volunteer.
Who is that?
This is Matt from Ohio.
Hi, Matt. Yeah, okay,
hi.
Great.
You know, all I want to say is that, and it goes along with what you were talking about, all I want to say about it is that it's apparently giving me a very positive perception of things that I thought I already understood. It's reinforced the goodness that I felt within, and yeah. It's showing me a better way. So it's just been a positive way of looking at things that seemed to already be inside, and it's just this group and these channelings and readings and things that we experience and have. It's just a real positive tool for self motivation.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Matt. Okay, anybody else want to come forth?
This is Robert from Cleveland Heights.
Okay. Go ahead, Robert. Thank you.
Well, I can go along with what you said and Matt said about being more positive, but also I tend to have more moments of being uncritical. And I think that helped me get above the line more often, and so I'm more at peace. And also, things seem to be going my way, and the bumps aren't so bad, you know, along the road of life. And I know that the more positive, the more loving I become, then the better things will go for me and for those I love.
Robert, can you share, or can you figure out actually what the conference line did to cause that to occur?
Well, I'm not real positive, you know, because it's rather subtle at times, and it's like over a period of months. I've been coming consistently since November. So that's about 7 months. And, I feel like I'm a better person spiritually, and I don't try to impose my will on people. I just allow them to be themselves and not try to make them wrong or make myself right. At least I do that out more and more often, you know.
Okay.
I can go on and on, but it's something I can't imagine not coming to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like nourishment.
Anyone else want to say something?
Wynn, this is Marcia. How are you?
Hi.
Hi.
Is that Marcia? Marcia?
Yeah, this is Marcia. Marcia McMahon.
Oh, hi, Marcia McMahon.
Hello. How are you, Wynn?
Marcia is another host on BBS Radio, and she also is a channel, and she has a show on at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings, Saturday morning.
I just had Carla Rupert on my show. Did you happen to hear that, Wynn?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, it was really good, as always. You know, Carla,
thank you. Marcia had Terry on her show, and which is in the archives of BBS right now. Terry was...
Terry brought through some amazing information from the Aloheim, but I am a channel, and when I first met Wynn, we immediately connected somehow to the higher sources, and I have received a few very profound channelings from Ra, but I don't normally go into trance, let me just say that, although I'm very aware that Ra is influencing all of the people that are called into this oneness and this unity and this love. So, you know, it's fascinating, and I completely have made the connection, so to speak, and being a channel, I've had a couple of messages, but I really resonate with the Ra material and the Aloheim material, and, you know, I personally, last week, was driving to the chiropractor and feeling sort of overwhelmed with things, and then all of a sudden I felt the presence, and everything sort of just it was like feeling I don't know if it was physical or spiritual or what, but at times, you know, you can just connect to the energy, and that's why I came to this conference call tonight, because I kind of needed some upliftment. So I think this energy is very uplifting, and I trust the source.
Mm-hmm.
These are very high-level members of the, what would you call it, Wynn, the Galactic Confederation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that there's a great deal of accuracy in what Wisdom Ra imparts. I know he works with Wilcox and Carla primarily, and then she works with Quo now because she doesn't do any trance, and I don't do trance either, but at moments of great need, I have heard from Ra, but I don't
mm-hmm.
speak that out, and I guess I would say if you are a channel, it would not be something that you would necessarily want to speak out for various reasons. I think certain people are able to do it in a conscious way, and that's a safer way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my understanding.
So, Marcia, you started connecting with Ra after you connected with us, right?
Exactly. It was right after I met you on the phone, and you had a question, and Ra came in, and he said, we accept all honest inquiries, and, you know, of course, the first words he always uses are, we greet you in the light of the Infinite One. In the
right.
One. I knew it was him immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very fast, but, you know, I'm a channel, and so all the others on the other side know they want to speak. Somehow you know who I am. You
know, okay. Well, I'm so honored to have you check in and share tonight. And
well,
we have so much static on the line. I might consider muting everybody because we're on the. It's not you. But I'm just while you're talking, because we're on BBS. This call is on BBS. It's kind of embarrassing to have so much static.
Well, you know, that happened on my show when I had Carla, too, and Don tells me it's something to do between analog and going from analog to digital and back
yeah.
and forth.
Yeah. Well, actually, this is
online.
This static we're hearing is on the conference line itself, and not I don't even know how it's coming out on the radio. But listen, one person that I thought I would like to get to share, and she can say no thanks if I call on her because she didn't volunteer. But I is Kendra on the line?
Yes.
Kendra, would you like to volunteer? And you can say no, okay? But would you like to volunteer? Kendra's 15 years old, and she's the daughter of Gino and Claudia. And sometimes she calls in the light for us, and maybe she'll do it later today. And those of you that are aware of the terminology, we believe Kendra is a crystal kid. And that's somebody that came in from a high dimension to help us uplift this realm. And, of course, like everyone else, they forget when they get here why they're here. And everyone around Kendra senses, I'm embarrassing her now, I'm sure, senses how beautiful her vibration is. And with that, Kendra, would you like to share something?
Sure. My best friend, AJ, I put her in the light almost every day that I put somebody in the light. And she had some problems with her knee, and she had to get two surgeries. And after the second surgery, the doctor told her that it completely went away, that she didn't have any problems with her knee anymore, and that she was doing a lot better. So, yeah.
So AJ got healed.
Yep.
In a way that was unexpected.
Yeah, because it was really bad, and then it was just completely healed, and she could walk a lot better without her knee hurting or anything.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you for sharing that. Kendra, do you think you're a crystal kid?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. All right, great. Let me see, what time is it now? 7:07. Anyone else want to share something?
Wynn, this is Diane from Mountain View.
Oh, hi, Diane. Good, you're nice and loud, too.
Am I nice and loud? Oh, good. I've noticed a huge shift in the energy in our home since we've been attending the call, I guess since last November. I feel the upliftment of the Ra and Elohim in our space. I also have noticed over time the connection I feel to all the people on the conference line. And I feel them close to me no matter where I am, whether I'm traveling. We were in France about a month and a half ago, and I felt the connection of myself to all the people on the phone line in the energy of, you know, the Ra and Elohim. And it's an energy that I carry with me in my heart space, and it's so comforting, it's so nurturing, it's a constant joy. Another observation, as well as a miracle that happened was, two things. We moved from Phoenix, Arizona to California back in September, and I had been led by spirit to create vortexes in my home. And I had actually completed one when I was in Phoenix, but I had a vision of doing it throughout my whole home in California. And it had come to a standstill, and I just didn't seem to be able to break through. And all of a sudden, after attending the phone line, we've been on maybe a month, all of a sudden, overnight, I got a vision of how to put it together, and it just happened. And I know it was the energy that I've connected with all of you. And also relationships in my life with my husband, Wesley, with my children, with people that I know, people I come in contact with on a day-to-day basis, has just been shifted. Coming from a, I feel like I've embraced a deeper place of compassion and love, as well. Back in Phoenix, I was studying feng shui, and I felt compelled to study it largely because of the way I noticed that I saw energy. I see energy like its color. And then I would tell my husband, listen, you know, I know this might sound silly, but I see mathematical equations, and I see it like as energy and how it gets put together. And then I read your 77-page booklet of the questions and the answers to the Elohim, and it was all about geometry and mathematics. And I was just like, it all came full circle for me, like the resonance of the truth, as well as through reading your book, and numerous other things. Even little things on a day-to-day basis, but that's some of my experience, and it's been life-changing, and I'm grateful.
I thank you so much for sharing it, and one of the things about this is there's really not techniques, there's no, you know, people don't have to spend any money. This call goes on every night of the week, and I know that the first time anyone exposes themselves to something, they're always trying to figure out in their mind what's really going on there. And they're looking for an angle. And, you know, as you look at this, I hope if someone is listening for the first time, they'll choose to explore it further and at least read the website. There's really not an angle. I asked the question to, you know...
All callers are muted.
I just muted everybody. I asked the question, and the question was, if I did a conference call, would you guys be on the line and work with people? And they said they would. Now, what that means is everyone listening right now, who's not just on the phone line, but who is anywhere in the world on PBS, has the opportunity to make a connection right now, in this call, with those energies, because they can find you energetically in the space. They can beam into your space. You can feel a presence with you if you open to it. Now, if you're in your mind, you'll probably block that experience. And I would say, don't believe it. Just be neutral. Be neutral, and what I'm going to do now is do what we call calling in a belief, and that is like an official invocation of their presence. And then what we do is each person on the line gets a chance to put something in the light that they're working with. And the way to visualize this is that we're creating a group energy. We're inviting those group souls to join with our group energy. And then we're extending this energy into the world through our intentions. Our intentions are very powerful. And each of us that's listening have an opportunity to tap into this energy and use it. And we ask that for anything you ask for, you have the proviso for the highest good of all concerned. And that proviso is what separates a light worker from a dark worker, because the dark worker tries to create group energies, you know, and use those energies for self-serving purposes. Now, of course, you know, there's witches' covens. That doesn't mean all witches' covens are dark. In fact, perhaps most of them aren't. But there's certainly been periods of times and groups that use this power of group intention. The difference between the group intentions that we're creating is that because we are invoking these group souls will not participate in any intention that's self-serving or that's not for the highest good of all concerned. So we have a huge mass of energy here to work with, perhaps billions of individual souls that are connecting with us, and it's a tremendous power, and all you have to do is ask for something that is not self-serving. Now, if you make a mistake, because sometimes we can make a mistake and not even know, or sometimes we can ask for something, and it's not in the highest good for that to happen, because if it did happen, it wouldn't fulfill the proviso for the highest good of all concerned. It means somebody would be damaged by it. So we ask that they look at that and include that. So if something doesn't happen, it may mean that it wasn't supposed to happen and it would have created some negative backlash. And so everyone listening can share in this moment now. And I thank everyone that's on the line who's been supporting this. And I thank all of you that have tuned in tonight for the first time. And now we're going to really do what the meat of this call is about. The Monday call that we're doing tonight is turned into kind of an introductory talk. Since we're live on BBS Radio, and I always assume that there's people that are just, you know, channel hopping and end up, and I want them to be included. We have a Tuesday night call where Wayne and I don't know who else is doing it with Wayne this Tuesday, but we read channelings, quo channelings, which I believe we're a trustworthy source of explanation for things that are happening on our planet from other realms. And Tuesday is a huge source of information. Wednesday through Sunday is probably the most powerful of these calls because we go right to the quick. We call in the light and bring in the energy and put out our group intention requests. And there's no explanation, there's no long-winded talk by me. It just goes right to the energy. And it's happening every Wednesday through Sunday at 7 o'clock. Now, if any of you that are listening want to find out how to check into these calls, you can email suzanne@higher-vision.org. Suzanne has volunteered, and she's been doing it for quite some time, to help coordinate all of this. And she will give you the call-in numbers, in which case, even on Mondays, you could call in and be part of this group on the phone instead of listening on the Internet. So with that, Father, Mother, God, we ask just now for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, each person that's on this line, and each person that is listening to this broadcast anywhere on our planet, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies and anchored to the center of the Earth. And right now, we agree, those of you who are free-willing to do this, to blend our energies. Blend our energies in other dimensions. If you intend for this to happen, remember I said intention was the most powerful force. It will happen. And you can feel the connection. You can feel an energy on the top of your head and your third eye. You can realize your energy is no longer trapped in your body, but it is shooting out through the universe, and it's joining with all the other energies that are on this call right at this moment. And as we join our energies, we invite those group souls to join with us. Now, they have free will, and thus far, they have agreed to be here with us. That means our group energy that we've created now has the additional energy of these two group souls that have identified themselves by the name Ra and the Elohim. And we are responsible, everyone on this line, for anchoring this energy from higher dimensions through the veil, through our bodies, into our planet. I'd like to ask you to shut your eyes. Some of you will see light patterns in your eyes. Some of you will feel your expansiveness, and it's a new feeling. You are now a huge energy that's anchored in your body. You are no longer just your body. You are expanded in a cosmic sense. And we have this huge energy, and I'd like to ask this energy to be projected to different places on our planet that need help. For example, right now, I'd like to ask you all to take this energy that we're feeling and project it to the Middle East and see it beaming down as a huge column and holding itself in the Middle East, and that wherever there's pain, suffering, and hate, this energy will be beaming into that space and give those people another choice, another reason to open up. And now we take this energy and we send it to Washington, D.C. And we send it to our legislative body, to our executive, White House, and to the Supreme Court. We see huge beams of light radiating down in through those structures and into the center of the earth, anchoring this love light energy that's coming in from these higher dimensions, from these group intelligences who are working with us. We ask all of this, as I said before, in the highest good of all concerned. And now we send this energy to St. Louis, to Los Angeles, to New York City, now, this evening, we're on VBS Radio, and we have 1 minute left before we shut down. I'll take that last minute and ask each of you, wherever you are, to anchor that energy back to yourself and extend it to your own hometown and to your family, and to your own home and to the earth underneath you. Feel that energy. If you feel that energy, you know that you're connecting to these high sources. They are the ones responsible for beaming it into your space. Please read our website, higher-vision.org. And we're going to sign off from BBS, and we hope you'll see us next week. And what happens is those of us on the phone line are going to continue this process of calling in the light, and each person is going to put their own prayer requests into this giant pool of energy that we've created. So I thank Don for giving us this opportunity. Don is the founder of BBS Radio. You can hear Don and I on Saturday night on the Don and Wynn Show. And I thank Don for giving me this opportunity to do this conference call live around the world on BBS. And on that note, I wish you good night. Is Seth there? Or Seth, are you listening? Okay, we're going to sign off, Seth. Thank you for being there. And I'm going to open up the conference line.
All.
Wishing for ambition and competition, because it keeps me challenged by my superstition. Such a simple stick in position, start ignition. You can still change. Well, if you wait by me, I'll wait by you. Doors will open, we will choose our own way. And then you come back up, it's who you know. High and low to and fro, highlights off and you go. Well, tell me, where do you go? When you're on your own, you do not know where to go, like indigo. No, 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 no. There's someone in your head, and they just say, no bridges burn, no stones unturned. I got friends at home, they're awake, I see the learn. No bridges burn, no stones unturned. I got friends at home, they're awake, mother. You know it's true, your lies only make a sign that reads you. Come on now, tell me the truth. Because the system and it's hard to get away from the round. The ghosts around the underground, but just sad, just like abuse. So people hurt and confused. She said she's gonna make her out for everyone. Some people come, people go.